I'm sure many of the scripture readers would be going, man, I wish I could have a scripture text so short. Well, it's good to be back. So we were gone in Colorado, had a family vacation, and ended up missing the last two Sundays. Good vacation, but it's great being back. It really is. And being amongst family again. So let me pray as I get started with the sermon. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord God, to take in your word. Illuminate us, shine your light into our hearts, Lord God. And there then, fill our hearts with knowledge of your truth, knowledge of your word, and help us then to know how to live it out. Lord, we want to follow your word. It is our light. It is our lamp. It is glorious, and it is powerful. At times, it's so convicting. But those are good times too, Lord God. For we need that. We need that correction sometimes to keep us on your path. So help us, God. And so as we exalt your word this morning, Lord God, be exalted and be glorified among us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to make this short because then I'm going to invite Ethel, you ready? A little bit later, okay? Towards the end of the sermon, I'm going to invite her up, and then I got a couple videos to show you. But this sermon is pretty easy for me to preach because it's basically talking about the Word of God, which is so precious, so precious. You know, I once heard a story of a pastor who was a prisoner. I want to say it was in Siberia, I'm sure it was a communist state. And they had imprisoned him because of his faith, but he was so effective working in the barracks and among the prisoners that they wanted to get rid of the guy. So they offered to release him on one condition, that he leave his Bible behind. He walked right back to the barracks. Wouldn't do it. Freedom was offered to him if he just left his Bible behind. That was the most precious thing to him, more precious than life, more precious than freedom. He walked back in the barracks. How precious is God's word to you? Now, in this context, in the sermon scripture, Hebrews 4:12, we see this aspect of God's word, that it's cutting. It's like a sword, that it cuts. So that might have a tendency on first reading to cause us to draw away, to cause us to question, do I really want to get into the Bible? Yes. Because God's word, though piercing, works healing and health in our whole being. So point two in your sermon notes. This is a book that lives. It's a book that lives. It's living. And so that's what the scripture text tells us this morning. It says, for the word of God is living and active. What does the writer of Hebrews mean when he says this is a living thing? Well, it's because God's life force is in the word of God. So when I approach God's Bible, I literally am approaching God. And I'm approaching him for a dialogue where actually, it's less of a dialogue because it's more about me listening and him speaking. But it lives because it speaks. And it speaks deeply into my heart. In one instance, it might exhort me. In another instance, it might comfort me. It can correct me. But it can comfort me. It can judge me. And yet, it can speak pardon. It can make me sorrowful, and it can make me glad. I go through all the emotions, a whole spectrum when I read God's word, and it's like having the most amazing counselor right there, always accessible. Not like a psychiatrist or counselor that we've got that we'd have to call and make an appointment for, always available, at no cost. You can get the most awesome counsel, 100% truth, 100%, always, every time, and 100% relevant. Some of the people today try to argue that the Bible isn't relevant. Oh, it is so relevant. And it speaks from eternal wisdom, and it speaks from a profound knowledge of me. When I come before the Word of God, it's living because it speaks to me, and with such understanding of me, it just pierces through. And through the Word, we then dialogue with God. And we dialogue with the living God. It's the living Word, because as you approach God's Word, you approach the living God. Point three, it's a sword that wounds. It's a sword that wounds. And so the text says, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That doesn't sound fun. But for those who've had the experience, the profound experience with God's Word, it is a cutting. It is a sword that cuts and goes deep and penetrates. But just like a surgeon's knife. So Kurt, you recently had surgery. So what did you think of this surgeon? I mean, I know you were asleep and everything, but what did you think of the idea of a surgeon coming to you with a knife to cut? Well, what was the result? He cut away the cancer, took that which would be taking your life, and that surgeon renewed life in you because of his cutting. It was a cut, and they were wounds that brought healing. This is what the Word of God does to us. Yes, it cuts like a sword in God's hand. And it actually says and refers to the Bible and in the Word as the sword of the Spirit of God. So it's God coming at us with a sword. But God is therefore not our enemy. Sin is the enemy. And what He's trying to do is cut out the sin from our lives that, like cancer, literally is threatening our eternity, our very spiritual life. And I caution anyone against denying God's approach with His sword. A lot of people, a lot of us, we don't like having anyone threaten us or confront us, right? But we need to allow God to do this. We need to give Him permission and access to our lives, to our hearts, that He can do the cutting. The most dangerous and spiritually deadly attitude would be a person who thinks they're above correction. You ever known a person like that? A person who thinks that, who cops an attitude anytime they might be corrected, even if it's accurate. You know, in Proverbs, anybody that thinks they're above correction, Solomon calls them a fool. You're a fool if you think you're above correction. We need this correction. Let me put it to you this way. What would you think if your kid was walking on the railroad tracks and had his earbuds in, right? Walking on the railroad tracks in this direction, just strolling along, and because he has his earbuds in and they're pumping volume and they're loud, doesn't even hear the approaching train. What would you think of the person who sees this and runs and just in the nick of time tackles your kid to get him out of the way, risking his own life, tackles the kid, and as they roll away from the tracks, now safe, what would you feel towards that person? You skinned up my kid's knee! You frightened him! How dare you! Kidding, I just saved your kid's life. Wait, you put his clothes are dirty, they're a mess. I'm gonna have to get all new clothes. Lady, you're crazy. In the same way, the Bible rescues us in that way when it physically manhandles us, pulling us to safety. Praise God for that correction. For that physical assault, that emotional assault on my being. I relish that correction from God because he's saving me. Yes, the word of God is like a sword. Yes, it cuts. But what it's doing by its cutting is carving. Carving the character of Christ in me. So imagine one of the greatest sculptors of all time, I don't know, Michelangelo, carving a statue, right? Chiseling away. Well, an even greater master is at work in me as he chisels away using a sword, but crafting in me a Christ-like character, and thank God, chiseling away the bad parts, the ugly parts. I thank God for his sword as it cuts. And point four, the Word of God is a judge for our hearts. And so our sermon text says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Who likes to be judged? Well, by another person? Yeah, that's rough. But by God's Word? Again, thank God, bring it on, God. You can call me crazy. I'd love to be judged by the Word of God. I love the fact that the Word of God cuts in, examines, opens up, and does the healing. But what it's also doing is judging, helping as a judge for me to discern between right and wrong. You see, as Romans 7 says, and I totally agree with the Apostle Paul, there's a war going on inside of me, and it's a war between my sinful nature and my spiritual nature. And they're at war. And I need that judging to help me discern what's right, what's wrong, and to make that judgment. You want this judge. Oh, how our hearts can deceive us. Jeremiah says about our hearts, the heart is deceitful above all things. Well, haven't you sensed that? Haven't you experienced that? When led by my heart, oh, the mistakes I have made. The damage that's been done, not only in my life, but in other people's lives. Oh, this heart can deceive me. And so to have a judge, the Word of God, that can show me what's right and what's wrong. This is a judge that clarifies what's true. It convicts to save me from being condemned. Did you get that? This word judges to convict me, to save me from being condemned. Thank God for his word as it judges us. Well, a while back, Ethel had approached me, and she is somebody who's a fanatic of the Word of God. Oh, she's addicted to the Word of God. And I love that about her. And some of you may know, some of you may not, but for years now, she has been a Bible study fellowship leader. Come on up, Ethel, if you would. But she was, you know, talking to me and just praise of the Word of God. And so I talked to her before this sermon, and we were talking, and she said, yeah, she's got this resource from Bible Study Fellowship. You'll find it in your bulletin, so open it up. But if you would just quickly just take us through, let me grab a microphone for you, that document, and let them know the resource that you have now in your hands.
Leave me?
Yes, I am. I'm going to sit right back here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm here to judge you from behind. No.
Okay. Does everybody have this in their bulletin? BSF? Bible navigation? How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? How many of you brought your Bibles? Would you hold them up, please? Hold up your Bibles for me.
Good.
Oh, doesn't that look pretty? That brings joy to our pastor, I'm sure.
And to
God. You know, when Chip and I first met with Pastor, when we were thinking of joining this beautiful place, he shared with us some of his visions and some of his dreams and goals for this church, and one of them was that Elam would be people of the Word. And to be people of the Word, we have to know the Word. So this is just a very brief, yell at me if I go too long.
Okay, I will. I'll yell.
Okay. When we were on the way to church this morning on the radio, I mean, God gives these wonderful little perks, and I just love him for that. And somebody in the radio said, I read my Bible when I feel like it. When I don't feel like it, I read it till I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, thank you, God. That was just perfect for this morning. So I'm not going over this whole sheet, so thankfully, but there are a few things I'd like to highlight. If you look, for beginners, there are different translations of the Bible. We found this out this morning in our Sunday school class. We have several different translations. What translation do you use, Pastor?
NIV, and that's what's in the pew Bibles.
NIV. Okay. If you have a different translation, usually on the spine of your Bible or the first couple of pages, it tells you the translation, and you're trying to follow along. There may be some different words, but that's okay. It's still the truth, and it's still God's word. So the how to navigate the Bible, that second section there, it says where you can find out the kind of Bible that you have. But I love the part, you see that third bullet point where it says turn to the table of contents? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Very few of us can recite every book of the Bible in order all the way through. So, you know, somebody shoots out Philemon or Titus, I don't know too many of us that could turn right to that. There's no shame in looking at your table of contents. That's what it's there for. So don't hesitate. Just look at it. It's usually in the front, and that's a very helpful thing. And then in the table of contents, they will often divide the books, Old Testament, New Testament, all that sort of thing. And that just that's self-explanatory, all the things that it tells you here. But the other potential helps in your Bible, I don't know about you, but I had my Bible for many years before I even knew there was a concordance or a dictionary in the back. I'm a little slower than most. Maybe you already have discovered that. But if you turn to the back of your Bibles and see if there is it'll say dictionary / concordance, or maybe just concordance in the very back. Do you see that in your Bibles? For instance, when you get there, look up the word angel, just for starters. Do you see how many references there are? That concordance will take you to all of the references in the Bible that refer to the word angel in the context and what it means in that context. So this is an amazingly helpful tool in your Bible. And then most, not all, Bibles have, some of them call it perspectives. It'll have a page in that same area back in the back. And it's like where to go when, or like if you feel discouraged, you can go there and it will give you a bunch of Bible verses to turn to if you're discouraged, or if you've had a quarrel, or all these different life situations. And not only is that helpful for you, but maybe you have a friend that's a little down or facing some specific situation. Go quickly to the back of your Bible and look that up, and you might call or send a note and give that Bible reference to your friend. And that might be just what that person needs at that particular time to really lift them up. So that's all very helpful stuff that you can use in your dictionary, in your Bible. If you turn over to the other side, a lot of this, the first part, it tells, you know, it kind of breaks it down. It tells you about major prophets and minor. I thought major prophets were really the important guys and the minor prophets. That's not at all. This explains. It has nothing to do with that. But it just gives you some details about that part, those parts of the Bible, and some of its history in New Testament, Old Testament. But at the very bottom, and again, of course, this says studying the Bible in BSF because this document is specific to BSF, but we can apply some of these bullet points, we can apply ourselves, especially the one where it says establish a time and a place for daily Bible study. I mean, I get that that's hard, and some young moms, they just have to go into the bathroom and shut the door for 5 minutes and look at their Bible, read their Bibles, but it's amazing how when you start to do that, you really miss it when you don't, you know? So I urge you, for your own benefit, to try to do that. Set aside a time to do that. And then the very bottom, and again, this says things like what to do for BSF. But the last three bullet points there is amazing to use. I've started doing this, and it just really enhances my daily study of the Bible when it says, what's the passage about? Just kind of read it through. And if you're not getting it in one Bible, it doesn't hurt to get one that's like a paraphrase, like the Message, that might be a little bit easier to understand. And then I apologize, LJ, and you younger ones, I know nothing about the Bible app. So I know that's a tremendous tool as well, but you know, there's so many ways that you can find out this stuff. And then always I say, what do I learn? What is God teaching me about this passage? And then the third one is, how can I apply? I think that, I love that about our pastor. You know, he always gives you a life application to what he's preaching. And that's so important than just hearing somebody just go on and on and drone about something and not give you anything you can hang on to when you leave here. So that's helpful, too, to just ask yourself that question each time you read a passage of Scripture. So I hope you'll hang on to this, that it will be a helpful resource for you. It's been a really good resource for me. And I'm so thankful for a pastor who's open to let us share ideas and new thoughts here. I hope you all appreciate that, because not everybody has a pastor like that. So thank you for letting me do this.
Absolutely.
And please treasure your Bibles.
And so BSF, by the way, refers to Bible Study Fellowship, and they oftentimes have seasons where they have classes. So if you really want to dig deep in the Bible, Bible Study Fellowship is a great place. I think it's First EV Free, isn't it, in Rock Island? Is it First EV Free in Rock Island? Moline, okay. Anyway, but there's also many opportunities here to dig deep in the Word. Sunday school classes on Sunday mornings at 9:15. We've got some midweek Bible studies. But more than anything, my hope, and as she's right, my prayer is that as Elamites, as Elam church family members, we would all become a people of the Word. But it's so that the Word would have that effect, carving out Christ's character in each of us. And honestly, it would be glorious. So I've heard so many times, so many people say, I've tried reading and I didn't understand it. Well, that's why I invited Ethel up, to try and see if with some of these helps, we can help you to get into the Word and be able to understand it. But how precious is this to you? How important is it? Does it just sit on a shelf, you know, sit on a bookcase? Or is it your most prized possession? Just wanted to show a couple of videos, a few more minutes, quick little clips. But the first video is the Bible, when the Bibles arrived then in Papua New Guinea, Papua Indonesia, in the Kimnyal tribe. So this tribe of people, very primitive, had never had Bibles in their language, never in their history, until just recently, a few years ago. And missionaries had come. They had learned the language, perfected their understanding of language, translated Bibles into their language, then had them shipped off, printed. And when the Bibles arrived, Josh, show them what it was like.
The Kimnyals always had a love for the Word. They had prepared this ark sort of thing for the Bibles to be put in. They know the Word. They can quote the Word. They're very good at memorizing. I mean, we've had one lady that has memorized whole books, and she'll sit there, and as she talks with you, she will, it's just like it says in Ephesians, and she'll quote 3 or 4 or 5 verses at a time. And so they love the Word of God, and just to see them with it.
Now, a book that I read years back, and I'd heard first this woman, Marilyn Laszlo, give her story in a Christian conference. It was an amazing story. I read her book, very powerful, and it's a book called Mission Possible. I don't know, Josh, if you can put the book title up there. I would highly recommend this book to you. But Marilyn Laszlo, 1967, arrived in Papua New Guinea in the Hanwa village. And again, primitive village, 110 miles from anywhere, even remotely close to any civilization, would have to arrive by dugout canoe. And again, she started just as a missionary, getting to know the people, getting to know the language, and over a 24-year process, in which also she taught the Word of God, taught the people, established a clinic, established a school, and started leadership training and even trained up pastors, but along the way, translating into their language the Word of God. They didn't even have books. Their language had never been written down. And so she wrote it down and then translated the whole Bible. And then I want, Josh, if you'll play her testimony, just 1.5 minutes of her testimony about when the Bibles arrived in Papua New Guinea, in the Hanwa village.
We finally finished. Actually, it was almost 24 years, but here it is. They chose the colors green, the color of the jungle. And it says, Yaiwun Kabea, Papa God's carving. I want to tell you something. When these Bibles were coming up the river in a dugout canoe, it was translated or published at Hong Kong. And they told us that the Bibles are coming. Every single thatch roof house was beautifully decorated with leaves and flowers and branches and orchids. And when we heard that canoe, they were lined up on both sides of the river, waving branches, flowers. And as that canoe came in, they all started to shout, "The Word of God has arrived! The Word of God has arrived! The Word of God has arrived!" They just kept shouting. Yeah, it's an emotional story. I know what it took to get this done. I nearly died 3 times. Typhoid fever, the worst disease you could ever get. Malaria 3 times, down to 90 pounds. Trichinosis. You don't live with trichinosis very long. But here I am. I'm still here. And every time I got really sick and nearly died, I got closer and closer to the people. God does not make mistakes with our lives. I don't know what you think about your Bible. It should be your precious, prized, personal possession that you own is this book. It's our special, it's our spiritual water, our spiritual food.
What do you think of your Bible? Does it make you want to shout, "The Word of God is here. The Word of God is here. It's right in my hands. God's Word." Oh, that we would have that kind of esteem, that affection, that love for God's Word. That's my prayer for every one of you. For every one of you. Dear God, may it be. In Jesus' name. Amen.